continue our study of Hilchas Pesach, I want to ask a general question that's very relevant to all the mitzvahs, and especially to the mitzvahs of Leil HaSeder in particular. And that is, to what extent does a person have to push himself, even with physical anguish and possibly even the possibility of sickness, of illness, to do a mitzvah? We know that with regard to financial issues, how much money does a person have to spend, up to 20% of his funds for a mitzvah? Where does health fit in? We know that there's a principle in halacha derived from a pasuk in Mishlei, Drachecha Darchei Noam, that the ways of the Torah are pleasantness. But there are situations in which a mitzvah requires me to push myself. It's, in a sense, undermines my natural human health, if you will. And does the mitzvah require me that I suffer physical pain, possibly even expose myself to sickness for the sake of the performance of a mitzvah? Does the obligation of mitzvahs, is the machai of the mitzvahs, go so far as to say that I can require a person to experience physical damage to his body for the sake of a mitzvah? In most mitzvahs, this is not necessarily relevant. You know, you can put on tefillin without endangering your health, and the same is true of tzitzis and tefillin, Talmud Torah. Although in Talmud Torah one requires to push himself pretty hard, but I would not say to get sick. What about mitzvahs in general? Now, with regard to Leil HaSeder, these questions become very, very relevant. The Shulchan Aruch is going to address the case of Shtiyas Dalid Kosos, in which a person is sensitive to Shtiyas Dalid Kosos. He might even get to the point where he gets sick from it. I mean, how far does that go? And if you take a look here on page 1 of Yomar Makomos, you'll see a story about a young boy on the Leil Seder almost annually, year after year. When they got to the point between Hallel and Nirtza, he had drunk the kosos of Yayin, he would start vomiting. And his mother made a joke. She was joking that maybe in his Haggadah there was another line that said, here's where he has to vomit. When this young boy became older, it got to the point at which not only was his vomiting situation unpleasant, it got to the point where it was a halachic shaila. Because if his eating causes him to vomit, it might not be achila at all. For example, in the definition of achila, achila gasa, which is not considered an achila and completely undermines the kiyum mitzvah, some rishonim learn achila gasa means it gets to the point where he becomes nauseous. He's going to regurgitate his food. And here, in the case of this young lad that now became older, and he might have a serious problem here, pi halacha, that his achila is not considered achila at all. Now, there are cases not just of yayin where this is a problem, but also cases of matzah. There are people that if they take even the normal dosages of matzah that are required for this night, or perhaps even maror, they get sick from it. They suffer, and it's almost intolerable. What should they do on the night of the Seder? What does a person do who hates wine? Should he drink wine anyway? Now, we're going to start with a Gemara in Masechta Nedarim on Daf Mem Tesam and Aleph. And there's a parallel statement in the Yerushalmi. In Masechta Nedarim, the Gemara tells us about Rabbi Yehuda, that as a result of drinking Dalet Kosos on the Leil HaSeder, he had such headaches from Pesach all the way to Chag HaShavuot, 7 weeks of headaches. The Yerushalmi tells us about Rabbi Yonah, She'af hu haya chazik bereshe. He would suffer from severe headaches min haPesach v'Atzeres b'shel shtiyas Dalet Kosos. Now I'm not sure if Rabbi Yehuda in the Bavli is the same as Rabbi Yonah in the Yerushalmi. I think not, because the Rashba in his Tshuvas in the Chelek Aleph, he writes that someone who hates wine, and even if wine is damaging to his health, it causes headaches, he's still nevertheless chayav in Dalet Kosos. And he brings not only the Bavli in the Dorim, but he also brings the Yerushalmi in Perek Arvei Psochim about Rabbeinu Yonah. So the Yerushalmi seems to be quoted here as an extra source to bring chizuk, to strengthen the position of the Rashba. And this position, the Rashba, is reflected in the Shulchan Aruch. In Siman Tuf Ayin Beis, Sif Yud, Misha Eino Shose Yain Mitnesha Maziko, Osono, Tzorech Litchok Atzmo Velishtos, Lekayim Mitzis Arba Kosos. So we're talking about someone who wine it damages him, and he finds it, I don't know, the word sono, I guess I would translate as repulsive, and nevertheless he has to force himself to drink. And why? In order to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos. Now again, the Shulchan Aruch is still a little bit ambiguous in the sense that he doesn't tell us if there's any like red wine, you know, what kind of damage is a damage. He says maziko, you know, what's the shear of nezek? You know, at some point you cross the red line and the suffering is so great that he doesn't have to force himself to drink the Dalet Kosos. Is there a chiv to drink Dalet Kosos on Leil HaPesach if he will get sick? If he'll have to actually climb into bed, that's how bad it'll be for him. And that's the subject that's not clear in the Shulchan Aruch. The Mishnah Brura though there in Sifkot Lamed Hey writes, Mipnei Shemaziko Ritzono Loma Shemitztayer Bishtiyoso V'Koev Barosho Mizeh V'Ein B'Chal Zek Sheyap Yipol L'Mishkov Mizeh. So the Mishnah Brura says that where do we draw the red line? What is the upper limit of the chiyuv of Dalet Kosos? He says up until the point in which he has to fall sick in bed. That's where he crosses the red line. If he's going to get headaches, but he could still function, he's not a chola, then he's chayv to push himself. He's chayv in the mitzvah Dalet Kosos, and that's what we saw. That's what we saw in the Shulchan Aruch. Afilu Mishaino Shosiyayim Ne Maziko Sono Tzok Lidchokas Atzmo Lekayim Mitzis Arba Kosos. Now in the Sharetzion, in Sifkot Nun Beis, he adds another point, another comment. He says, Di Ein Zed Derech Cherus. Now this to me is a problem. I find that this is very, very confusing to me. The Mishnah Brura, on the one hand, reflecting the Shulchan Aruch, says that even if it's mitztayer, and even if it's mazik and koiv harosh, all that, he's chayiv in the mitzvah Dalet Kosos, he has to force himself to drink. But yet, when he gets to the case of kshayipol and mishkav mizeh, he writes ein zed derech cherus. So I have 2 points here that I want to make. Point number one is apparently Mishnah Brura understands that even if it's koiv rosho, even if it's mitztayer b'shtiyoso, which means he literally finds it detestable to drink the wine, it's damaging to him. Again, maziko is the lashon here of the mechaber, and in the language of the Mishnah Brura, mitztayer b'shtiyoso koiv rosho mizeh. So he's talking about getting headaches. And yet, the implication is, not the implication, it's explicit, that would be considered derech cherus. A person who's mitztayer, b'shtiyoso, that's considered derech cherus. Derches means I do as a free person. I experience, I reflect joy and celebration. It's hard to say that I would experience in order to reflect or express my joy and celebration. I drink wine and I'm mitztayer from the wine. To the point to which I get headaches. Rabosai, we're talking about, and that's still considered derech eretz. But once it's yipol and mishkav, then it's not derech eretz. So apparently, just for point number one, the Mishnah Berurah is operating with halachic categories here. These are not. How should I say halachas that can be explained on a psychological level? It's very difficult psychologically to justify derech eretz in a case of mitztayer v'koyev rosho. But nevertheless, halachically, you're still functioning, you're not a chol al pidin, and it's still considered derech eretz. We don't want to exclude a kiyum mitzvah from someone who, like Rabbi Yehuda in the Bavli, or Rabbi Yonah in the Yerushalmi, was mitztayer harbi with kevei rosh as a result of drinking his four kosos, to say that should undermine his kiyum of dalet kosos. So we operate within that frame of reference. That's the Xeris HaKosu, so to speak. That's the legal line. Your Mitztayer and your Koiv Rosho, it's still considered, despite the Hezeg, Derech Eretz. And you can obtain the mitzvah. And if you can obtain the mitzvah, then you chayiv in the mitzvah. So this mitzvah of Dalet Kosos has a very broad, you know, broad range. You know, you're really going from someone who literally enjoys his wine to someone who detests his wine and even finds it not dangerous, but damaging to him physically, and he's going to have to walk around with headaches for 7 weeks. It's still considered yayin derech eretz. I would have said something else, that maybe there are two dimensions of the mitzvah of shtiyas dalet kosos. Maybe we'll talk about this later in more great length. At one of them is simply to be mesader the bracha al kos and drink from the kos. There's another aspect of derech eretz. I would say that someone who's mitztayer, he's koiv barosho, he forfeits the kiyum of derech eretz. He's not enjoying himself. He's not expressing his freedom and his joy, and he's left with bracha al kos. If a person is already nofil and mishkav, that's a separate halacha. Then it's not considered. Then it's not even considered kava berchoso al yayin. Yeah, but that's not shti at all. Again, even though kava berchoso al yayin doesn't require shti in the classical sense, but it does require te'imas yayin and nishpach yinat yotze, even as far as brach alakos, and therefore perhaps there's at least a ptur in the case of nofel and mishkav. Maybe it even undermines his entire mitzvah. I don't know. But to say that someone who's mitztayer harbe and koi barosho, and yet he obtains the derech eretz kiyum, that I wouldn't say. I would grant him that he's obligated in the mitzvah of brach alakos. But derech eretz, it's hard to say. But we'll come back to this, because we'll see that even my presentation, not only is it difficult in the language of the poskim, but it's logically it's difficult. But in any event, we get one thing clear from the Mishnah Berurah. That's why I want to get the bottom line here, is that the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos applies even for someone who's mitztayer. He's got ke'evim, he's got kev rosh, but not in a case of yipol and mishkov. Now, we began our discussion today with the question of whether or not these standards apply to all mitzvahs of the Torah. And the Mishnah Berurah here, when he says Ein Zeh Derech Eretz, and he excludes someone who's going to get, you know, sick in bed because he drinks the Dalet Kosos, that seems to be a separate halacha in Dalet Kosos. And again, you could ask, what would be in Shar Mitzvahs? Would there be a greater Kula or a greater Chumra? It's hard to say a greater chumrah. I would like to exclude the following possibility, although theoretically, in abstract terms, it could be correct, that even if he's nofel with mishkav, he's still chayv in a mitzvah. But excluding that possibility, which intuitively we sense is going too far, then it could be that the the threshold for an exemption, alleviation of a mitzvah in general, I'm talking about the universal mitzvahs, might be a short of threshold. Meaning, even if someone is koev berosho and he's mitztayer through the mitzvah, you could ostensibly argue that in other mitzvahs he would be potter. Somehow, the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos pushes us a little bit further and sets the threshold as that much more restricted and circumscribed. Namely, it's got to be no fail lemishkov. So again, these are the two points that we want to focus on. Number one, that the Mishnah Berurah's approach clearly indicates that a person who's mitztayer and koev harbe is still nevertheless chayv in the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos and Derech Heirus, meaning he obtains the mitzvah, the kiyum of Derech Heirus. That's point number one. And point number two is the Mishnah Berurah is introducing an element here that specifies and sets aside Dalet Kosos in a singular way, implying that in other mitzvahs the law would be different and the standards would be different. Now, it's not clear what the Mishnah would say with regard to other mitzvahs where you don't have this prerequisite of defining the Maisa Mitzvah as Derech Heirus. What I'd like to talk to you about for a moment is the case of the question of Yayin versus Mitz Anavim. You know, the famous question of wine as opposed to grape juice. And would it be okay for someone who finds it difficult to drink wine for the Dalet Kosos, for the reasons that we gave before, to drink grape juice? Would that be a valid substitute? Now, what I want you to look at on page 2 is the fact that Yayin, back in the day, was very, very strong. And it was made out of a concentrate made out of squeezed grapes. And they added some, what's called mizug, some miziga of yayin. And the Gemara Pesachim Adaf Kuf Ches Omid Beis, Omar Rabbi Yehuda Omar Shmuel, Arba Kos Salol Tzarch Sheheibam Kedei Mizigas Kos Yofa, that there must be, it's an absolute requirement, an admixture of water. Now it's pure concentrate wine, you know, made from grapes, and no water is added. Lo nisarif b'mayim, is the Gemara says, son chai, if he drinks it chai, meaning without any water, is Rava says, yidei cheres lo yotza, he forfeits the derech cheres. Now, what is the nature of this derech cheres? Tosas says that there's no significant difference between Arba Kosos and other mitzvahs as far as Yayin is concerned, like Kiddush, Bris Milah, Shavuot Brachos, whatever we require Bracha Lakos. Dalet Kosos really fits into the universal paradigm of Koshel Yayin. Cheres, according to Tosas, therefore, just means that, you know, we want to mix the wine in such a way that people will feel a good, you know, get a good feeling. It'd be very enjoyable and very comfortable to drink that wine, and by adding that element of comfort, you enhance the cheirus of it. If that be the case, then perhaps grape juice would be a valid alternative for yayin. Because if we assume that mitzanavim would be, as a general rule, okay for kosher mitzvah, and we're applying to Dalet Kosos the universal standards of kosher mitzvah, then, to the same extent that mitzanavim is okay, is suitable for for general kosher mitzvah, it's suitable, therefore, for Dalet Kosos as well. The Rambam in Perek Zayin of Chametz Umatzah is of the opinion that there's a special din, a special kiyum of cherus in Dalet Kosos that sets up Dalet Kosos as something very different than your standard paradigm Koshel Bracha. Let's read the Rambam. Arba Kosos Eilu Tzarch Limdogosan Kidesha Tehei Shtia Areva. Hakol lufi ayayin ulufi das hashosa. V'lo yifchos mi'arbos mi'rvius yayin chai. Shosa arbakosos elu miyayin she'eno mazug. Yotzi yidei arbakosos v'lo yotzi yidei chirus. Shosa arbakosos mizugim bevas achas. Yotzi yidei chirus v'lo yotza yidei arbakosos. It's clear from the language of the Rambam that there's a special obligation of chirus in and of itself that's fulfilled in Dalet Kosos. And therefore, Moshe Feinstein paskins that we should be makpid on yayin, even if a person doesn't love yayin, maybe even if he hates yayin, even if it causes him ke'eve rush, because the chova, the obligation of chirus, can only be fulfilled with yayin. But many, many poskim disagree with Rav Moshe, and they write that a person who hates yayin causes him dizziness or headaches or other different types of symptoms, he's allowed to drink mitzanavim. And you can find that in a sefer called Tshuvos V'Hanhagos, he quotes that the Briska Rav and the Chabina Rav used to drink grape juice for the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos. And the Chazon Ish also apparently drank grape juice for Dalet Kosos. And some say that if a person doesn't drink wine, we might recommend him to drink grape juice, because perhaps for him it's derech cherus. This is the exact opposite of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe holds that derech cherus has to be yayin. And that's why you have to push yourself to drink wine, even if it causes you headaches. The other post is going to say no, that grape juice, if you don't like wine, is not only permissible, but probably preferable. And the reason for that is, if he drinks yayin, he may be undermining his derech cherus. And this is something that we discussed before when we spoke about the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says that it's considered derech cherus up to the point, but not beyond, that you'll fall into bed and you'll be actually sick. Even though you have ke'eve rosh and so on, the Mishnah Berurah seems to clearly indicate that it would be derech cherus. But according to these poskim, odif b'misha'enu mechav yayin dafka yimona, he should prevent himself mishtiyas yayin, because ein shtiyaso derech cherus. And that's quoted in the Shiurim HaMetzion B'Halacha in Kuf Yud Ches. And it seems that that could be pshat in the Rambam, that the Rambam requires a kiyum of cherus. If you drink concentrated wine, you know, that's like drinking wine for someone who gets headaches. Everyone's going to get headaches from this non-diluted concentrated wine, and therefore the Rambam says you forfeit the kiyum of derech cherus. And the Rav Shulchan Aruch in Reish Ayin Beis writes that the shtiyas arbakosos tricholios areva. Areva means have to be pleasant for him. So whereas Rav Moshe on one end of the spectrum would advocate that a person, even if he gets headaches, has to be makpid only to drink yayin, even though he finds it detestable, nevertheless, he's got to suffer the headaches, and that's the way he's makayim his mitzvah cheres, because cheres requires yayin. According to the other poskim, and this is all brought down in the Tshuvos V'Hanhagos and also in the Shiurim HaMetzion B'Halacha, they would advocate in favor of grape juice and say the dafka grape juice for such a person who's sensitive to wine is the way to go, because that's the kiyum of derech cherus. Perhaps, you know, we could suggest that today in our time there might be another alternative. There's something called yayin kal. Yayin kal is much softer and lighter and more easily digested for someone who's sensitive to yayin than regular yayin. Another possibility would be to make a combination of mitzanavim and yayin. And again, it's hard to say exactly how much mitzanavim he would, you know, optimally he would add and mix into his yayin. But in any event, make sure that he has a shear of yayin in his kus. Let's call it, I don't know, different shear, but if you want to go to chumra, 4.4 fluid ounces. And then, beyond that, he can add grape juice. And hopefully the grape juice will mix into the wine in such a way that it dilutes, not so much dilutes the wine as much as it softens the wine and makes it a lot easier to drink. So you have all those options. You have grape juice, you have what they call yayin kal, which is a softer wine, or to you yourself take regular yayin, but after you have the shear of yayin in the kus to add mitz anavim, and that would offset to some extent the harsh taste of the yayin. And again, as we pointed out, I just want to reiterate it, there were gedolim and poskim that themselves drank grape juice for dalet kosos. And the reason for that is because they weren't in the best of health. Maybe for the healthy people, we have to assume that the best option is yayin. But for those who are not in the best of health, certainly grape juice should be okay. Even though, again, as I said, Rav Moshe would not be happy about it. He also said Derech Eretz requires yayin. Now, as we said at the outset, there are other cases, other dimensions of mitzvah halayla and leil pesach that also come under this general question of tsar. And the one I want to address with you is marar. What about a person who eats marar and he's mitztayer harbe, maybe even it causes him illness? And in order to analyze this, we start with a bit of a strange sefer. I hope you'll take this with a grain of salt. But there's something called Shelos Utshuvos Besamim Rosh. And it's a little bit of a question as to who authored this sefer. It's certainly not the Rosh. The question is if the person who wrote it was a bona fide Bar Samcha, somebody we could rely on as a Talmud Chacham. I don't know. But what's interesting is to see the way the Achronim deal with, you know, the presentations of the Besamim Rosh. So we're using the Besamim Rosh as a Keresh Kfitza, as a to jump off. And in the Besamim Rosh, and this is Simon Tzadi Dalid, and this is quoted in the Binyan Shlomo, which we'll get back to in a minute. The Besamim Rosh says, "Ein chiyuv lechol marar." He says, "There's no obligation to eat marar in a case of choli, where it causes him some sickness." And the Binyan Shlomo, who quotes this Besamim Rosh, rejects the logic of the Besamim Rosh, because in the presentation, in his tshuva, the Besamim Rosh says, "I'll prove to you that a mitztayer is completely alleviated from maror, from the halacha in sukkah that a mitztayer is part of a mitzvah sukkah." That's point number one, and that itself, we'll see in a minute, is a big problem. Okay, now the Mishnah and the Gemara in sukkah says that the sick people and also the mishamshim, those who are caregivers, they take care of the sick, they are exempt from sukkah. Now the second argument of the Besamim Rosh, if you can call it an argument, is leaving mitztayer as a tur sukkah on the side. There's another halach of osek b'mitzvah. Now where's the osek b'mitzvah here? This is a bit of a real push here. He's saying that since he's very careful about his health, he's like watching his health, he's guarding his health, that itself is a mitzvah, and you want to now obligate him to eat the maror, he would have to drop his guard in order to eat the maror. The maror is actually antithetical to his shmirah saguf. He's not osik b'mitzvah potemunos. He's too busy taking care of his health to be bothered by achilas maror. On the other hand, at the end of the tshuva, he sort of admits a little bit that it's possible that if somebody his health would be jeopardized by achilas maror, then and only then is he potter. If there's an actual hezek legufo, but tsar maybe not enough. He writes the following. This is part of the Psalmim Rush, which we're going to now sort of rip apart. He says, "Eino mechuyev lahachnis atzma becholi v'tzar haguf b'shvil mitzvah aseh." B'chato adinu lehen mechum shakol niya b'dro. V'af delo yagia sakona mizeh. And he proves it by quoting a Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tov Reish Nun Vav, which again is the case of Mitztayer Potem and Asuka. No, I'm sorry. That's not the Siman about Mitztayer Potem and Asuka. That's the Siman about how much money you have to spend for a mitzvah say. And he says that since there's an upper limit and you don't go beyond, let's say, 20% of your assets, so by analogy, we should derive from this halach that a person doesn't have to expose himself into tzar and into the possibility of physical damage and of choli, of getting sick for the sake of a mitzvah say. Why? Because tzar aguf and choli take precedence, are even greater than a person's mamon. So if a person doesn't have to give up his mamon for a mitzvah, say, beyond that point, then certainly he doesn't have to give up his goof, he doesn't have to suffer and get sick for a mitzvah. So it's a kolshken, he says, from the case of finances. Now, the counter-arguments against the Besamim Rush, which are quoted here in the Binyan Shlomo, are the following. Number one, the Patur of Sukkah, of Mitztayer, is a unique halacha. It's a halacha mesuyam, it's a din mesuyam, if we can call it that. And that's because of Teshu Kain Taduru. If the Sukkah causes him suffering, then his yeshiva besukkah does not constitute a yeshiva. That's why Mitztayer is part of the Sukkah. On the other hand, in other mitzvahs where we don't have this halacha of mitztayer potter, mitztayer should be chayav. So what raya does the Besamim Rush have from sukkah to prove that in maror there's no din of mitztayer? And especially with the halacha maror is that he should feel the merirus. I mean, obviously he's going to be mitztayer by feeling the merirus. And then as far as the second argument of the Besamim Rush regarding osik b'mitzvah potter b'mitzvah, a sick person, even if he's already sick, he's not actively involved in the mitzvah of u'shmartim yoros nafshosech. U'shmartim yoros nafshosech is nothing more than an isra say. It's not a kiyum say that you could say he's dedicated to that mitzvah and therefore he's potter from other mitzvahs. So the halacha of osik b'mitzvah dafka applies only to a case of someone who's actively involved. He's an osek b'mitzvah, and he cannot perform another mitzvah. That's not true over here. You know, again, we all have to watch our health, but that doesn't mean that every second of the day we have the status of an osek b'mitzvah. The Binyan Shlomo, however, although he's not willing to say there's a p'tur in general from mitzvahs based on mitztayer, that's only a sukkah halacha, he does agree that if a person will get sick because of a mitzvah, that certainly is a kal v'chomer from Al Yavaz Beis Yosef Michomesh, because sickness is worth more to people than even money. Who wants to be sick? Now, what we've discussed here is the issue of performing a mitzvah derabbanan, because morar b'zman hazeh, and certainly dalet kosos on mitzvahs derabbanan. But what about a mitzvah d'oraisa? Even a mitzvah d'oraisa, we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, does not require that you give up more than chamishis, more than 20% of your value. So when we mentioned before, Chaim Siman Tov Reish Nun Vav, that's the case of giving up, having to spend money for the sake of a mitzvah and the limitations thereof. Al Yivaz Viz Yosmi Chomish, in the case of a mitzvah saseh. I just want to point out that even within the context of the Binyan Shlomo, we're left with a certain element of ambiguity. You're talking about choli. Choli is like Yosemi Chamishas of Nechasov, and you don't have to give up more than 20% of your value for the mitzvah. You don't have to give up choli or health for the mitzvah. But what kind of choli? I mean, choli itself can be defined in so many different ways. So we're going to use the definition of choli as far as the heter of refuah on Shabbos. Oh, we're going to use the dinim of choli as far as other heterim that we find. Maybe malach on chol moed, perhaps maybe inui on yom kippur, at least less than a shear. I don't know. There are different standards of what choli is. And tsar, well, you know, you can't make a general blanket rule that, you know, for all tsar, no matter what, the sky's the limit. I have to give up. I have to be willing to endure that suffering for the sake of a mitzvah. What tsar is it? You know, there may be a tsar that's worth more than 20% of his nechassim. So again, you want to extend the alleviation, the patur of a mitzvah based on financial considerations to health and sickness. But what's considered sick and what's considered anguish and suffering? Now, what we want to spend a little time on is maror, and how would you define a chole who might be potter from maror? So what we want to do is we want to open up Tuf Ayin Gimel that we mentioned before. Look in the Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Mem Gimel, and he writes the following: chole, a person who is sick, he's unable to eat a mara for health considerations, is potter min mitzvah. He's exempt from the mitzvah. He only says, he requires only, says the Mishnah Berurah, achila ma'at mara zecha l'kir ma'mitzvah. Meaning, surely the mitzvah requires a kezias, and mara less than a kezias is not a mitzvah. The language of the Mishnah Berurah, yochal ma'at zecha l'mitzvah, it's not 100% clear how much he should eat, but obviously he wants to eat just enough mara to recall the mitzvah, but not to cause himself physical damage. The Mishnah Berurah writes that if the mara will not cause physical damage, but only cause him tsar, then he's not potter for the mitzvah of mara. And basically the implication here of the Mishnah Berurah, especially in the Shara Tziyun, is that there's no complete chiyuv to perform the mitzvah if it's going to strain himself and remove, shall we say, his strength. He says, "Roilo litchok atzum b'chol yecholto kedei l'kayim mitzvos chazal." He's got to push himself as much as he can, as long as it's only tsar, but it's ein achilo. If it's ein achiloso mazikoso, and it's just grimas tsar, then roilo litchok es atzmo kedei l'kayim mitzvos chazal. Now, the question I wanted to raise with you is there some sort of a conflict here, in a sense, a contradiction in the Mishnah Berurah himself? Because when it gets to the case of Dalet Kosos, he seemed to imply that unless he's going to fall into bed, he's not potter for the mitzvah. With regard to maror, it seems that he defines maror from a more universal perspective of all mitzvahs, that if there's some sort of a choli, it doesn't mean choli that'll fall into the mishkav, and yet he's potter for the mitzvah. It's just that roi, again, the language is roi lo lidchok es atzmo. He doesn't say mechuyev lidchok es atzmo. So you're talking about that gray area here, where once it causes a choli, he's potter for the mitzvah in the case of mara, whereas in Dalet Kosos, he introduces the derech cherus element, implying that in other mitzvahs, where you don't have the blockage, the problem of derech cherus, perhaps he would have to push himself even that further, and it would be absolutely obligatory. So again, let's just reiterate this so-called apparent contradiction in the Mishnah Berurah. With regard to a case of a person who through the mitzvah will become a chole, are we saying roi lo lidchok es atzmo? He should push himself, and it's not really a chiv gomur. And not only that, we want to even sharpen this more. In Morar, the Mishnah Berurah's language seems to indicate that even if there's tsar alone, roy lo lidchokas atzmo, and he's not absolutely unequivocally obligated. Whereas the only case in Dalet Kosos where he's exempt from Dalet Kosos, which is the case of Nafal Mishkav, that's only because of Derech Eirus, implying that in other mitzvahs, up until Choli, he's absolutely obligated in the mitzvah. And maybe even beyond Choli, because only in Choli does the Mishnah Berurah write that it's a Derech Eirus issue. So what's going on over here? How do we reconcile the Mishnah Berurah? What is at the end of the day, what is the standard for an obligation in all mitzvahs? How does that apply to Mara? How does that apply to Dalet Kosos? So perhaps if you take a look on page 3 of Yomar Makomos, the paragraph that starts Itochen, it would seem that Maror might be different than other mitzvahs. And it's quite possible that a person could be Mekayim the mitzvah Achilus Maror even in Pachus Mikashir. And there are many sources for this in the Rishonim, especially the Rosh, because the Rosh says the only reason you'd have to eat a Kezayis Maror is because of the bracha of Al Achilus Maror, but implying that the real mitzvah d'oraisa of Maror is even less than a Kezayis, and that's the sheet of the Trumas HaDeshen, that you only need a Kezayis because of the bracha, but the mitzvah per se can be fulfilled even with less than a Kezayis, meaning Al Matzu Maror Yochlu, that Maror is just a tafel, it's just an accompaniment to the Korban Pesach. The Mishnah Berurah, on the other hand, seems to assume that Mara requires a Kezayis, and in the case of Dalet Kosos, there might be a special status of Chiyuv that would take you even beyond other mitzvahs. So there are three categories here that we can address. And then the variables will be mitzvahs halayla versus other mitzvahs, mitzvahs dalet kosos versus other mitzvahs. The three categories are, number one, mitztayer. Number two, we have the case of mazik, where he suffers some sort of hezek. And number three, we have the case of a choli, where he literally falls into bed. It would seem that we can get clarity on one of these three categories and say that in the case of Choli, in Shar Mitzvah HaTorah, as a universal rule, he would not be obligated to put himself into Choli for the sake of a mitzvah. The exception to that rule is Yayin for Dalet Kosos, insofar as the Chazal obligated and upgraded this mitzvah, afilu l'chazal apsachim, he's got to panhandle and knock on doors in order to raise the money for Dalet Kosos. We as a community have to support Dalet Kosos, even in a tamchui. The halacha of al yivaz bez yosef michomesh doesn't apply to Dalet Kosos. So this special chumr of Dalet Kosos, insofar as it represents the mitzvah of chayiv adam liras esatzmo, that puts Dalet Kosos in a special category, that if not for the problem of derech eirus, he would certainly be obligated even to suffer choli. Interesting. In that particular case, by standards of other mitzvahs, he would definitely be potter. And that's unquestionable. Then we get to the other two categories of, let's say, the lighter one would be tsar and the heavier one would be hezek gufo. The tsar would be you're very uncomfortable when you do the mitzvah, and hezek gufo would be that you have headaches. Would another mitzvah other than Dalet Kosos obligate me? And Dalet Kosos, for sure, I would be obligated. And here's where the Mishnah Berurah seems to say that hezek gufo, meaning something like headaches, would be enough to exempt you from other mitzvahs. If it's not hezek gufo, but just tsar, and let's say he does a mitzvah and he suffers from it, the Mishnah Berurah seems to say it's not a complete total chiyuv, but nevertheless he should be dochek es atzmo. It's recommended that he get into it. And here's what we pointed out, the ambiguity, what's considered tsar and what's not considered tsar. And again, if you use it, if you're using your standard of comparison as how much money you would pay, ask yourself the question: Would you be willing to give up 20% of your assets in order to avoid this kind of a tsar? And if the answer is, you know, if the answer is no, that you're talking about extreme suffering, then you would be absolved from the mitzvah. If on the other hand, you would be willing to pay that, you know, I'm sorry, if. Let me say it the other way around. If you would be willing to pay 20% in order to avoid the tsar, that's excruciating tsar, and you'd be alleviated from the mitzvah. If, on the other hand, you know, it's not worth that much to you, it's worth 10%, but not 20%, then you'd be obligated in the mitzvah. And maybe even if it's very excruciating, you'd be recommended to do the mitzvah, lidchok esatz, because you don't have this derech cheres limitation. So let's put maror into the general categories of mitzvahs and assume that maror would alleviate, you would be alleviated from the chiyuv of maror on a technical level. It's not a chiyuv gomer if you're mitztayer. And perhaps we can add the Trumas HaDeshin and say that maybe in maror, even a lower echelon tsar, which is not hezek gufo, would be an exemption, because maror itself is not a full-fledged mitzvah. The Trumas HaDeshin says you don't require an achilas kizayis. But now at this point, I wanted to study with you the Maram Shik. The Maram Shik in Siman Reish Samach writes the following: Rak im achilas ha-maror Tavias ha'odim l'chlal sakana niftar me'achiloso. So the Maram Shik is going very far with the mitzvah of maror, a very, very harsh obligation l'chumra in maror. If it's less than a sakana, even if it's holy, he has a chiv to eat maror. That is a very extreme position that has to be understood. The Binyan Shlomo, on the other hand, writes that in such a case of choli, he can obtain the kiyum mitzvah, he pushes himself, but nevertheless he's not chayav to eat the maror. And he writes, b'makom sheyigram choli aso liyadam l'kayim es ha-mitzvah. Oh, so I'm sorry, I stand corrected. The Binyan Shlomo is saying that not only is he exempt from maror in a case of choli, he's not even allowed to put himself into that state of choli for the sake of maror. And you wonder what the Binyan Shlomo would say in those cases of tsar or headaches and things of that sort. Probably he would say that you can push yourself, but you're not obligated. In the case of choli, you're not even allowed to put yourself into choli, and the mitzvah is completely uprooted. So I would say that the Binyan Shlomo might be looking at maror from a more classical, universal standard of mitzvahs b'chol tarkula, whereas the Maram Shik sees maror as a very big chumrah. The demand for maror is central, and it's crucial to the mitzvah of Sipriyatis Mitzrayim, or the mitzvah of maror per se, and therefore requires you even b'makom choli. Now, what we haven't really discussed is the distinction between mitzvos derabbanan and mitzvos d'oraisa. It could be that based on the sugi and ksubas daf samach, there might be a different status for a derabbanan. What's the sugi over there? The sugi over there is talking about sucking milk on Shabbos for someone who needs the milk. It's a kind of medicine. And he's going to violate the Iser Derabbanan of Mefarik, because Cholev is Chai Mishum Dash, which is a told of Mefarik. And for the sake of Mefarik Derabbanan, Kilachar Yad, in an unusual way, we will allow that Mefarik Derabbanan and suspend the Iser for the Makom Tsar. But Makom Tsar, Lo Gazru Rabbanon. Now, if there's a principle of Makom Tsar, Lo Gazru Rabbanon, then perhaps we could say with the Kal V'chomer that a person should be potter from a mitzvah de Rabbanon by Makom Tsar. Although, right, because violating an Iser is always considered more chamur than non-fulfillment of a mitzvah, so we can alleviate a person's obligation to do a mitzvah derabbanan b'makom tsar. And again, as I keep saying over and over again, we have to address the ambiguity of what constitutes tsar. But the question that we're asking now is, in the light of the sugya k'suvos, why all the debate, all the hype about whether or not v'makom tsar, v'makom choli, you have to fulfill the mitzvah, you don't have to fulfill the mitzvah? Isn't it clear from the Gemara in k'suvos that b'makom tsar, you would not have a chiv to fulfill a mitzvah? If you could violate an isur, in this case mefarik derabbanan, how much more so would you be alleviated from a mitzvah? And for this, we want to take a look at the Beis Yosef in Yoredeya, in Siman Kuf Chaf Gimel, and he writes that the heter for this mefarik, meaning for this kelacha yad of mefarik on Shabbos, that b'mokom tzar lo gozer rabbanon, is not a universal rule that can apply to all Yisurim d'Rabbanon. We don't find a heter for Yisurim d'Rabbanon, v'makom choli, v'makom tsar. For example, let's say you're not allowed to drink stam yenom, you know, non-kosher wine. So we're not going to be matarit for a chole if he's not, again, if he's not in danger, in a life-endangering situation. So it would seem, therefore, that we cannot extrapolate from the Gemara k'suvos a universal rule that we will violate Yisurim d'Rabbanon for the sake of avoiding tsar. And we should mention here that the tshuvas of Rav Yair Bachrach, that's the Chavis Yair, he says, Ki'ir prutza eina choma. He says that you should not look at this din of Mefari Kalachar Yad as a city, so to speak, that's walled, and you've punctured, you know, you've broken through the wall of the city, and there's nothing holding you back. Then every time you have tsar, you're gonna violate an iser drabbanon. He says the Gemara there is talking about a very severe suffering, tsar kosher v'gadol, but not your general tsar and choli. So that basically what we could say is that what we have clearly is that only in special conditions can you exempt someone from a losas seder abonon or from a mitzvah seder abonon because of potential suffering or maybe even choli. That's going to be a very limited kind of a heter. The Ramban Yoredeya Kuf Nun Hey quotes two opinions, but according to the first opinion that he writes, that there's a heter in Isur Drabbanon b'makom tsar v'choli, and he says yesh lahatil l'srapos b'Isur Drabbanon gam b'chola she'ein bo sakona. And again, the poskim are going to limit this. You know, the Pesachei Tshuva, for example, is going to say that they were only matir isurim in a partial way, but not a complete way. For example, you could be misrapi by them, but not to eat them. So you could use certain macholos asuras derabbanon as part of a process of ripui. In other words, as part of administering medical procedures in the body, but not to eat them. You know, to take a prohibited food and eat it, that we're not gonna allow. Now, in the case of bris milah, there might be a special halacha of sakana, and we start that with the Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara in Yevamos, which I think you'll see here, I have it on the page on Daf Ayin. I'm based on an Aleph, mentioning the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. There's someone who's called a Moshech as Orlaso. He pulls over his foreskin over his bris milah, and well, I shouldn't say he pulled it, but that's what it's like in its natural state. And there's a concern that if we do a bris milah, he might become what's called a krus shuv a shafcha, and it'll make him impotent. He won't be able to have children. In such a case, that's considered danger. And he's potter from the mitzvah of bris milah. And in general, this brings up the whole issue of what's called sakonas aver. when a person does a mitzvah and it might endanger the loss of a limb. So talking about danger to a limb, a sakonas eiver, we have a famous tshuva here that you'll see from the Avnei Nezer in Yoredeya. And the Avnei Nezer discusses a case of a child who was born with a deformity, a crooked leg, and the doctors advise that the leg could be straightened out immediately, because when the baby is born, the bones are still not formed totally, then they're still flexible, and the procedure should be performed before, you know, its maximum before his eighth day. And as a result, the bris milah will not be able to take place. And the question is whether such a procedure is permitted or not. The Avnei Nezer says that it's mutter, because if one doesn't have to spend more than, you know, 20% of his finances, of his assets, in order to perform a mitzvah, then certainly for the case of sakonas eiver, he would not be obligated to perform a mitzvah. And here, to make himself cripple, chas v'shalom, for the sake of performing the mitzvah of milah, bismana, that doesn't require a person to do such a thing, because his physical health certainly is worth more than 20% of his assets. So sakonas eiver, for sure, according to the Avnei Nezer, comes under the halacha of a kol shekein from 20% of his income, and he doesn't have to give up that much. He doesn't have to endanger an eiver for the sake of a mitzvah. The question of risking a permanent physical damage, therefore, is always considered worse than just a choli. We're not talking about illness here. We're talking about something that's permanent, something that's irreversible. And that's what we discussed earlier with regard to the case of bris milah, where he might become a krus shivcha as a result of the milah, because his orla is mashuch. But as far as let's say lower cases, you know, less significant cases of than permanent physical damage, That's a different story. So again, sakonas eiver for the sake of a mitzvah. Clearly, I think we have a clear answer to that question. That which for surely alleviate the chiyuv of a mitzvah. However, when you get to the question of choli, you know, that's a health issue, but it's not an irreversible physical damage. That's already a more complicated issue. Would that undermine the chiyuv of a mitzvah? And if you take a look in the Eshel Avram, the Prima Gadim in Aruch Chaim, writes, this is Tuf Reish Nun Vav, Yesh Lamod, Lamod with an Aleph, we should evaluate, in Muchan Ha'odim L'Shalim Chomish Nechasim K'dei L'Hatzil S'atzmo Minacholet. In other words, a person should really consider how much he's prepared to pay to part with his wealth in order to avoid illness and suffering. If he's prepared to pay one-fifth of his wealth, again, he has to be honest about it, he's part of the mitzvah. But if he's not prepared to lay out so much money, he's chayef. Now the Shach writes in Kuf Nun Zayin that sakonas eiver might be considered sakonas nefashos, in which case we can circumvent the whole discussion that we saw in the Avnei Nezer. And the Shach would allow us to go a lot further then and violate an Isur, even perhaps a Losas Adoraisa, in order to avoid endangering a single limb of his body. And the Shach is Mekel on that. I mean, he's not Mefurish, but that seems to be a strong inclination. So therefore, we would not use the Sakonis Aver paradigm to discuss Choli and the like, because Choli clearly is Mawakum She'emo Sakona, where Sakonis Aver, according to the Shach, is equivalent to Sakonis Nefoshes Mamish. And if you take a look at the Sefer Minchas Osher, Rav Osher Weiss, on Parshas Vayikra, Siman Lamed Tes, this is his language, he writes, L'gavi Sakonis Aver, O Nezek Refuisha Ainlo mazar, the alulios bilti afich, it's irreversible, the damage, ein lechayev lechayim mitzvah saseh. The efsha shav chet yesh b'zeh dienon rashoy lichbol bi'atzmav b'tzar bi'alma v'af choli kal is midas chasidus yesh l'fom mafchiv l'tztayr k'day l'kayim ha-mitzvah. Again, we get back to that ambiguity in the margin, sort of the distance between tzar and choli, or choli kal and choli kosher, all these ambiguous cases. The gray area where we don't know exactly how to define it, but in theory, in principle, there is a ptur mitzvah called choli. There is, on the other hand, a midas chasidus to push yourself. Again, as we discussed at the beginning of our discussion with regard to shtias yayin, we have a problem because it's going to be a hafkav derech cherus. With regard to morar, we may have a room to be machmir, that Mara takes on a special status, l'chumra, beyond other mitzvahs, and that we saw in the name of the Maram Shik. But if we assume that Mara, like other mitzvahs, fits into the universal pattern of would I, as the Prima Gaon says, would I be willing to spend an outlay more than 20% of my wealth in order to avoid this kind of a tsar, this kind of a suffering, and then it might be okay to alleviate him from the mitzvah. Well, I just want to end with a tefillah that we should be zocher mekayim all the mitzvahs of the Leil HaSeder, the matzah, the morer, and the dalid kosos, and all the mitzvahs of the Torah. But we should fulfill them from a perspective of simcha, of joy, and health. Ken yiratzon, amen.